Welcome to Career Tours. This week, when to go to HR. The questions this cast answers are, what kinds of things should I discuss with HR? When is going to HR the right thing to do? And why would I want to go to HR?
If you're one of the many managers who's been promoted into leadership due to your outstanding performance as an individual contributor, congratulations, you've earned this. Wait, what? You mean no one told you that the skills you spent your entire career honing would now collect dust while your directs do the work you love? And now you're in a role that frankly can't be that hard, because it's not like we're going to train you to do it. Or are we? If you feel thrown into people management without a life raft, the Effective Manager Conference is for you. We help subject matter experts become the managers they weren't quite sure they could be by providing a step-by-step, actionable process for being people leaders. Visit us at manager-tools.com/training to register today.
Kate, you and I recorded a cast a few weeks ago about when not to go to HR.
Mm-hmm.
And this week we're going to talk about when going to HR is the right thing to do. And most people, or many people, think that HR is HR, human resources. I'm going to say HR a lot, but I better say it once in the long way. Many people think that human resources is the place to go when you're not happy about something at work. And we said last time, don't go to HR if you think they're going to fix your problem. They're going to fix your problem because you don't like the work you're doing, or you don't like someone you work with, or someone said something once to you that you didn't like, or your boss gave you some work that you didn't like, because that's not what HR are there for. There are times, though, when going to HR is the right thing to do, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
Awesome. So we're going to cover three times when you probably should go to HR, when it's acceptable. And those three are when something illegal is happening, in cases of actual harassment, or with questions about benefits and pay and things like that.
And before we start, one of the things is we're going to talk about going to HR, but actually sometimes, in most cases, unless it's your boss that's doing the thing that's illegal or harassment, in most cases, it's right to go to your boss first. And in a lot of cases, if there's a company policy about things that are illegal or things that are harassment or, you know, other negatives in the workplace, a lot of the time the policy says you have to go to your boss first and see if they can sort it out. So even though we're going to say go to HR, we're assuming that you've already gone to your boss and you haven't had you haven't got resolution that feels right to you or feels sufficient to you. And of course, if it's your boss that's the problem, then you're just going to have to go straight to HR. But it's important that you use whatever the company process is, because otherwise you'll just be kicked back into that process. So the first one is when something illegal is happening.
As we've explained before, HR is not necessarily your friend. HR's primary role is to protect and defend the organization from people-related issues. And of course, they do future planning and training, recruitment, really a number of other things. They're always on the side of the organization and not the individual. If something you're being asked to do is unethical, then HR will still almost certainly back your manager and not you.
In part because it's their job to be supportive of the organization, and your manager speaks for the organization. And so if they do something, if it's not egregious, like, you know, if we're talking about unethical or illegal, and we're talking about your boss managed to steal $1 million from the company, then HR aren't going to back your boss, right? But there's a lot of things where you would feel like perhaps that thing is unethical. And in the strictest version of it, which is probably what we would support, it is, but it's beneficial to the organization. HR will probably still back the manager because, apart from anything, the manager is more expensive to replace than you. So if for example, you're sending something out to a customer and there's a sentence in it that reads one way but really means something else, right? And it's not sitting right with you, we would call that unethical, right? Because here at Grittles, like, we are pretty strict about, you know, don't do things that are unethical. We don't lie to our customers. We don't even try to deceive our customers. We don't even try to hide something. But if you're in a company and, you know, there's something on an ad that's hyperbole or just isn't strictly true the way that most people would read the sentence, HR will probably still back the manager. If you look at, you know, all of the things that go to, I don't know what it's called in the US. In the UK, there's something called the Advertising Standards Authority.
And, dear.
And what they do is deal with complaints when people say, what was advertised was not what I got. So if you go to McDonald's and you look at the picture of the burger and it looks really pretty and it has lettuce and tomato and whatnot, and what you get is, you know, two pieces of bread with a patty in the middle, then you would go to the advertising standards agency and say, hey, what they advertised was not what I got. That thing, though, isn't illegal, mm-hmm. right? It's unethical, but it happens all the time in business. And what happens sometimes, I think, when someone sees something illegal or what they feel is illegal or what they feel is unethical, that's it's coming up against their standards and not necessarily the standards of the organization. If that happens to you, then you probably aren't the right person for that organization. You should probably be looking for somewhere that fits your standards better. But that still doesn't mean that HR will back you.
It's a little scary, I think, but that's okay. Because again, we're trying to be clear about HR's role, and their role primarily is to protect the company. So even though for some of us that might be a little scary, it's good to know. I think it's also good to remember and keep in mind that unethical and illegal are not the same. For example, it's legal for your boss to ask you to undertake substantial personal business on customer time. He could ask you to make calls on behalf of his side business. However, most people would agree that stealing company time is unethical.
Right, but it's not illegal.
Right. So your boss could ask you, and HR might back them if you went to HR. That's different, though, than falsifying business records, engaging in tax evasion, or, you know, deliberately misclassifying employees to save on payroll, copyright infringement, ignoring laws and regulations. All of those things are illegal as opposed to unethical. And before you go to HR, you need to make sure that you have the right information. It can be really easy to misunderstand a situation. There may be more to the situation than what we are actually seeing or experiencing.
Right. And that's another reason that, you know, things that happen that we feel are probably illegal or probably unethical happen, and then the company backs the manager. Because what happens is we see part of something, and that part is part of a bigger whole. Let's go back to the example. Your boss asks you to make cold calls on the behalf of his side business, right? That seems like it's pretty clear cut that it would be unethical for him to do that because he's using company time and resources to his own benefit. But what if that side business is not actually his side business? It's a test to see if there is customers for that kind of business that your company might go into. Now, he might not tell you that because it's a secret that they're thinking about going into that business. And so you can see something unethical happening, but if you see it as a broader whole, then it's not. The other thing that happens a lot is that what people think is illegal isn't actually illegal. So a lot of the times if you see newspaper things that say, oh, this person was released or this person wasn't charged and what a terrible thing they did and it should be illegal. Well, when you actually read the law, it doesn't prohibit whatever they did. And the way that the law goes is it's very strict on exactly what someone did and exactly what the law prohibits. And so sometimes we can get it wrong if we're not lawyers, because we understand the law in a kind of layman's way. And when it actually comes to court cases, they understand it in a very legal way. So we've got to be really careful about the situation we're in and whether we know everything and whether we understand everything that's happening.
Absolutely. The consequences of that whistleblowing of, you know, of letting people know is often that you're fired. There seems to be so many movies out lately about something like this, right? Not that movies are real life, but when a person does the right thing, but there's still consequences. And sometimes doing the right thing has those consequences. It shouldn't be the case, but if people within the company are committing and sanctioning that illegal behavior, Why would you expect them to follow the other rules?
Right. Now, if you think about people at Enron, if you had gone up to them and said, yeah, you shouldn't be doing this, do you think they would have said, oh, you're right, let's stop doing it? No, there's a conspiracy. There's 50 people involved. They're just going to say, no, go away and start to shut up. Or yeah. we'll pay you to go away. Or, oh, look, you just lost all your benefits. Like those people are already doing something bad. They're not going to...
Suddenly get a conscience.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, suddenly get a conscience. That's a really good way of putting it. And one of the things that people don't realize is a lot of the whistleblowing laws are, again, they're very strict in what is exactly whistleblowing and who can do it against whom. So in the US, there's a Whistleblower Protection Act. If you just heard the name, you would think, right, if I'm an Enron and I go to the regulators and I say, hey, there's something really bad happening, I should be protected. But actually, it only applies to government employees.
Right.
And it only applies to government employees in certain circumstances.
You have to have all the information.
Right. Because the consequence is dire in some sense.
Yeah. You have to be sure that you're right and be sure that you're willing to deal with those consequences. We at Manager Tools, we know we could be accused of sanctioning illegal behaviors if we don't tell you, always report. But our duty isn't to those who are being harmed. It's to you, our listener. And we would be remiss if we didn't tell you there could be negative consequences to reporting illegal behavior, from getting negative feedback to getting fired.
So the next one is, in cases of actual harassment or discrimination. And the negative consequences of reporting harassment are the same as reporting illegal behavior, right? You could be fired, you could have your benefits taken away, you could have your wages reduced, you could be denied promotions, all sorts of negative things. And again, many people misunderstand what actually constitutes harassment or discrimination legally, and therefore they suffer negative consequences without the outcome that they want, right?
Mm-hmm.
I looked it up, and about 2/3 of the filings in the US for sexual harassment in 2017 were found to be without merit. And that's not to say that some harassment didn't take place, but it didn't fall within the little bucket of what the law covers. The US employment equality law says, like actually in the law, it doesn't prohibit simple teasing, offhand comments, or isolated incidents that are not very serious. Harassment is illegal when it is so frequent or so severe that it creates a hostile or offensive work environment, or when it results in an adverse employment decision, such as the victim being fired or demoted. In other words, if I'm on a conference call this week and I'm not paying attention to what I'm saying and somebody says something and I say, Southerners, you're all the same, or in England, we would say Northerners are thick. Northerners would say the Southerners are just up themselves. They're probably not very polite, but they're also not harassment because I've just said it once, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that paragraph I read, there's a phrase, not very serious, which is not defined by the law, right? It's defined by the judge who is judging it, right? And that happens in lots of legal things. The definition of something is, there's something called the reasonable man theory. And so the judge thinks, okay, what would a reasonable person think? And a reasonable person to a judge is very different to a reasonable person in other places. In other words, the behavior has to be systemic and genuinely harmful in the eyes of the law. We're not going to talk about it here, but if you want to find how bad it has to be for harassment to fall under what the law says is harassment, just Google harassment claim upheld and see what was happening. And I think you will agree with me that they are way more severe than I would have thought was even possible or even happening. I would say, as a woman in the workplace, I've been harassed, but it doesn't fall anywhere near those things that are upheld.
Absolutely. The behavior that we're talking about really has to be systemic. That one offhand comment isn't going to work, and it has to be genuinely harmful. So we just want everyone to be aware that, you know, the idea that we have about what's right to do is not always upheld by laws and things like that. The EEOC also says it's helpful for the victim to inform the harasser directly that the conduct is harmful and needs to stop, and that the victim should use any employer complaint mechanism or grievance system available. So basically, you have to have told the aggressor that you don't want them to do that thing. You have to have told them you want it to stop. You also have to have reported it, not just to your supervisor, but to whatever mechanism your company has for reporting these things. Claims have been dismissed because someone has reported the behavior to their manager, but not to HR, and HR was a required part of documentation within the company. So it was part of the process. So claims didn't get upheld because the person didn't go through the whole process. And by the way, even if the courts find the behavior is harassment, it does not follow that the company is liable or will be sanctioned. So you're swimming upstream.
You are. Sadly, but we're not doing fantasy tours, we're doing career tours. The US law that we've described is illustrative of the legalities in most of the developed countries. The details are different, even within the US, where some states have some additional rulings. So we're not going to talk about specifics, but suffice it to say that you will need to have asked for the harassment to stop. And if it continues and you want to report it, do some investigation before you decide to go to HR. And there's probably a free helpline in your country, which you can use to find out if you actually have a case. In the US, you can call the EEOC directly. But when I looked it up, in most countries, there's a helpline that you can call. And you might decide, it's not worth it. I'm just going to find another job. And if that's your decision, we would fully support that. But like you said, it's swimming upstream. It's a really hard thing to decide that you're going to call someone out. Even go through the grievance process, but then go to court. It's a really difficult thing to do. I don't think I would do it. And so if finding another job is the solution, I'd fully support you.
The last topic that we're going to cover is a time to go to HR is when you have questions about benefits and pay and things like that. Many of the administrative tasks that used to be done by HR have been outsourced. So you may be calling an outsourced company. But if you have questions about how much you've been paid, what your benefits are, how to access them, what forms do you need, performance review processes, and so on, these are the questions that HR is probably most able to answer. When we say pay, we don't mean how much you're paid overall. If you want a raise, then you need to do the work that proves you deserve one, which, of course, we cover elsewhere. And then you need to take that discussion to your manager. Please don't go to HR thinking that you can get around your manager, because they'll probably just send you right back to him.
Yeah, it's not like, Mom said no, but I'm going to ask Dad. It didn't work when you were 5, and it doesn't work at work. And when we say pay, we mean how much actually ended up in your bank account versus how much you thought would end up there. So if you've been underpaid, HR should sort that out. Or if you're in a big company, it will be payroll, because they're big enough to have a department that's just payroll. But they're usually part of HR. If you've been overpaid, talk to HR straight away, because the mistake will be seen eventually, and it's way easier to pay back the extra before you've had a chance to spend it than it is after. If you get, you know, an extra $2,000 in your paycheck that you didn't know was coming and you don't know why you got it, don't go spend it. Go talk to HR or payroll and find out why it's there. And if it's genuinely yours, yay! But if it's not, it'll be way easier to pay it back if you haven't spent it.
So true.
And I've seen it happen, which is why I put this paragraph in there.
Much of the information and facts and data and stuff like that about benefits is really now often available on the company intranet. And usually that means that your ability to manage those things is also there. So reporting changes in address or, you know, other administrative details like that are often done online. In a lot of places too, you could apply for vacation and such things like that. You could register for training. Now, it's not always online. Maybe it's electronic. We would say you do need to check with your manager before you apply for a vacation or sign up for a training. But they can be, those tasks, once approved, can be executed electronically or online. So those things usually are not really times to go to HR. They're something you could get done like at your desk or something like that.
By the way, if you work in HR and you think, I do much more than this, we know. But for most employees, these are the times when they think of HR and they're the times they're most likely to encounter you. And we know you're not sitting there waiting for someone to call to tell you they've been overpaid. You're busy. But for most people, that's when they think about HR. When something goes wrong, when they want something, that's when they come to you.
Absolutely. HR is probably the most misunderstood department in any company. Employees tend to think it's tea and sympathy or a shoulder to cry on. I love the difference, by the way, between tea and sympathy being English or British, and shoulder to cry on is in the States. I love that. Most people tend to think it's those things, where really HR knows that they're charged with protecting the company from the people. In addition, most people don't really understand the law or how it works, and they're really not in a position to hear it when they're distressed. And so they might make decisions that are not exactly the right thing to do in terms of HR or in terms of their futures. But if you've listened to this guidance and decided that you should go to HR, you might also want to listen to when not to go to HR, just to make sure.
Yeah, if you go to the website and you put HR in the search box, you'll see all of our casts on HR, including that one, when not to go to HR. And if you have a big problem and you want to send us an email, send us an email and we will try and help you. A lot of the times these situations are very complicated, and complicated further by grievance processes and legal issues and where you are and who you are and lots of other things, but we will do our best to help.
Absolutely.
That's it. Hope it was helpful. We'll see you again next week.